Well, hello there. How's everybody doing? Looks like you're getting another radio fishing. And it's Fisher Frank in the chair. Got Robert across from me. And we got Rob McHugh with us today. I guess we're going to be talking tarpon, huh?
We can talk tarpon if you like, sure.
Okay. Well, let me get rid of this noise here. And let's see. So, you finally came on the show. I mean, boy, and the crowd loves you, buddy. The studio audience is just going crazy. We got people standing up. They're just full of nuts. This is like the tarpon king here. It's all happening right here on Radio Fishing. All right, go away, audience. They're a nice cooperative audience. You know, the people up in the bleachers get a little rowdy, but those of us on the main floor, they're pretty good about it. So, anyway, so how you doing?
Doing good, thanks. Been busy, of course, you know, so looking forward to July 1st. You know, the fish have been under a lot of pressure this year, so we usually see that taper down a little bit here in the next couple of days.
By a lot of pressure, you know, just a lot of boats, a lot of people fishing?
You know, you have a lot of people fishing, and this year, for whatever the reason is you know, the tarpon really haven't been spending that much time, especially the last couple of weeks, in the past at all, so... naturally, you don't have a fish in the pass. You still have people who want to fish, and that puts them in other places. So,
yeah, with the pass getting slow, and my opinion is it's just as it fills in and gets more different sandbars and stuff, the water flow, the currents, the eddies, all that changes. You get a lot of fishing pressure, but between the water flow and the eddies, that whole one side has all changed this year. It's a lot shallower over there. It's forcing more water through there. Yeah. So I think it's a lot harder for the fish just to hang out. I don't think they can... I think when that current changes... Now, next year, it'll all be different because every year, if we get a lot of rain this summer, it'll move those sandbars. Everything will be in a different spot, and the tarpon might hang out in the pass all year. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to know again. Every year, it's going to be its own discovery with that.
Yeah, well, it's constantly changing, that's for sure.
Well, they quit dredging it back in 2001, so once they quit dredging it, it was going to be iffy on the pass. Now, you're not a big pass guy. You kind of go, you do there a little bit, but not any more than you have to.
I don't know. He's pretty well diversed. I mean, he'll catch fish day or night, no matter where it has to be. I mean, everything I know from his reputation and customers, he's pretty much the tarpon king. He sleeps and breathes tarpon pretty well. I mean,
that's mostly what you do, though, isn't it, Rob?
Yeah, I, you know, this is my 27th year of full-time guiding, so at this point now, you know, I discovered back in the 90s that... people will come from all around the world to fish these fish.
Oh, well,
you know,
I mean, what more do you want than something 6 foot long, jumping 6-8 feet out of the water, crashing down, and if you get them in the daylight with the sunlight on them, the silver and the glinting, and it's just gorgeous, and you get them at night, and you got the spotlights on them, and it's just, it's a magnificent fish.
Yeah, well, you know, like when I started out in the late 80s, I was a big snook fisherman. I loved to fish for snook, and still do. But I struggled getting that business, and, you know, I did okay, but once I figured out, you know, that tarpon are the main attraction, I pretty much put the snook rod up, and of course I do this for money, so I followed the money, and then I figured out how to do multiple trips in a day. It was a long process of evolution, but
and a lot of stamina.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, because you got a few months out of the year where it's 20 hours a day on the water. And that's double tough. Been there, done that. That's hard.
I've got it down to the point now. I've been able to extend my tarpon season to about 7 months out of the year. The other 5 months of the year, I go hunting. So
what are you into hunting?
Tarpon?
What do you like to hunt?
Whitetail deer.
Where do you go for whitetail?
I hunt in Kansas and Missouri mostly.
It's a nice open country. You got to be. You're looking at a big scope to get close enough for one of those.
Well, world class whitetail. You know,
that's a long ways away though. Shooting out there, you got to be real steady to get that.
Yeah.
The way my hands shake, I'd be hitting houses in the next town over. I squeeze the trigger, to be like, way over there.
These aren't it's not the places to go to if you just want to harvest a deer. You know, it's trophy hunting, and I learned, you know, I've had my ups and downs these last three decades, and I learned, you know, that I had sold my passion.
Do you guide out there, or do you just hunt for fun?
No, it's strictly recreation. I've been offered, you know, to guide, particularly with the turkeys around here and stuff like that, but I've made a promise with myself not to sell the hunting. And keep that. I learned that I sold my passion 30 years ago. Today it's my career and,
right.
my job, which I love and I'm very fortunate to have.
You're really good at it.
I lost my... I do it all the time, but that's the secret.
But you
lose
your personal passion.
Right.
It's like people say to me, I love going out in the harbor, and I still think it's one of the best places to boat and fish in the world, but... After 30 years of going out in there, 30-some years, and it's not like it was those first few years where everything's all learning and discovery. I try and tell people when they come down, the best part about it is not knowing anything. It's the best part. You get to learn it all, and it's all exciting, and you get to find this new little cove and this new creek, and it's just
intense. Well,
that's
old school, unfortunately, and that seems to be fading now, you know. You're talking about the chase and the hunt and discovery, and I see a lot of that slipping away slowly, sadly.
Oh, I don't know. I think you're right, but yes and no. We've got, there's a lot of really cool people that move here, but I think percentage-wise, there's always going to be a little different. We're seeing a whole different generation and different attitude towards fishing because...
Sure.
Years ago, I mean, it was go out, they'd throw a bunch of, you know, catch a bunch of fish, put them in a 5-gallon
sure.
bucket, show their wife what they caught, and dump them in the canal.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's catch and release and stuff. So some attitudes got better, some attitudes got worse.
Right.
But it's still doing pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you're pretty booked up, but you have a few days open in July and a few days open August and
sure.
September. Not a tremendous amount, but there are a couple of days.
Right. We, April, May, and June do 2 to 3 6-hour trips a day, every day. And then once July comes, we drop down to 1, occasionally do 2. I'll do some fishing at night, too, and early in the morning. It's just too hot to be out there in the middle of the day right now.
I like getting out at daybreak. I like being back at the house at 2 o'clock, and then I want to go back out after that.
Right.
I love night fishing in the
right.
summer. It's
yep.
amazing. And because we get... once the storms are gone, it cools off just a little bit, and then you've got that whole evening bite that's just absolutely staggering.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy that night fishing thing.
Yeah.
What are your 7 months that you fish?
I start fishing, you know, most years I'm catching the fish by, I go away generally by two dates, St. Patrick's Day, so March, middle of March, Columbus Day, you know, in October.
Okay.
So that's a pretty full calendar.
It's
from Tampa all the way down, right?
I fish. You know, I'll be here into September, and then I have a few places where fishing is easy for me. Back inside Tampa Bay is really close to my house, and I'll finish the later part of September and October up there. But I'm here, you know, for the rest of the summer. You know, the fishery that you have out here in the harbor in the summer is probably the most consistent and second to none tarpon fishery in the country in the at that time of year. I wouldn't know, you know, where do you go to catch tarpon at that time of year, but well, you can count on it out here because they're just there, you know.
And the neat part about it is you kind of mix it up. You're going to go artificial if they're hitting artificials. You go live bait if you're hitting live bait. Any hints for anybody? What any bait to key in on, or should you just take the kitchen sink?
Well, we fish, you know, I fish a lot of plugs. So early when the fish first start to roll in there in this transition period that we're in right now in July, we see a lot of fish on the surface. I come in and clean out all your bait busters and, you know, your jerk baits and stuff like that. As you start to move into August, fish are still there, but they spend, tarpon do have an upper water temperature threshold, you know. In fact, if the water temperature gets up to 94, it would actually kill them. So even though that they're neotropical and thrive in the heat, there are times during the summer that the fish spend more time on the bottom. And that's usually when you start to see people
disperse. Now, what kind of lure do you throw when they're way down on the bottom?
I fish a lot of dead bait.
Oh, go back to cut bait then.
Right.
Yeah.
Dead bait, well, not cut bait.
Well, dead bait, yeah. But the thing about the dead bait is the fish are, as it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, get more lethargic. Mm-hmm. Like if someone walks in a room and it's 115, 120 degrees, mm-hmm. what happens is you don't want to breathe, you don't want to move, you just want to kind of lay out. And that's what happens with the tarpon, but they still have to eat.
Sure.
And it's much easier just to kind of go up and slurp a big dead bait laying on the bottom than it is to go chase something around.
Sure.
So it makes perfect
sense. They are opportunistic, just like most species of fish. They're scavengers. We've made them into a sport fish, but they spend a lot of time feeding on the bottom, no question.
What I do is I try to remind people that a tarpon is not a silver king until it's on your line.
Right.
Once it's on your line, it's the most magnificent fish in the world. But until that point, it's just a big old ladyfish. Yeah. And if you can separate it in your mind, you're going to catch a lot more because it's just a fish.
That's all they are.
Until you get it hooked up.
Exactly.
Then it's the silver king. It's the magnificent big eye, whatever, megalopsis and all that. But before that, fish it like a fish.
Right.
And then get excited when you hook up.
They're a big catfish.
Yeah. Technically, it's just people want to give too much importance to the silver king, the magnificent tarpon, this perfect bait and this perfect bat.
Well, you know, the fishermen have done that. So it's a sport, you know. You have people who are purists and fish them on fly. You have people who...
That's not purish. That's foolish.
That's foolish. That's true, too.
I love fly fishing, and I love using a bait cast or a spinning rod. I use all these different types of tackle, but I use it when it's appropriate, not because it's the only thing I'm willing to do. To me, that's always just a little goofy.
Sure.
You know, I'll go take my spinning rod, find my fish with a lure and a flick of the wrist, and then once I found some, then I can take my fly rod out and thrash the water
like,
with that.
Like your special teams, right. It's personal, you know, so. I do very well in the summer, you know, out here. In fact, in the months of the middle of July, August, and September, those 10 weeks right there, you know, I do a lot of tarpon tagging. And as far as giant tarpon are concerned, since 2000 or whatever, I lead, you know, the world in the number of fish tagged.
Right.
Those 10 weeks that we're talking about here, the middle of July, August, and September, I have tagged more fish than I do the other 4.5 months that I fish combined.
And
okay, so it's the next 10 weeks that are coming up where I catch the bulk of the fish.
And it people would just swear that, you know, if you're here in March, April, May, June, that's going to be your peak tarpon months. And it is for in the pass and maybe along the beaches. But it's not the best time for catching a lot of tarpon.
Right.
If you're
tarpon mass together in large schools in the spring is pre-spawn tarpon.
Right.
Their courtship, you know, their reason to come to the shoreline has nothing to do with feeding. They must come together, meet in a pass where they can rub and sniff each other and work out in daisy chains and figure out which fish are ripe and which ones aren't. Push each other out of the schools until you get a ripe school. That school of fish heads offshore to spawn, comes back in to cycle again. And, you know, it's a constant process going back and forth. Once the fish have spawned out, which will probably happen after this moon, I'm seeing this week, the fish are sucking back to the pass now. They've been out on the edges, been very difficult fishing during the week. This morning, much closer to the pass, it actually fell into the pass. So I would expect, you know, them to be around that area much closer over the weekend, the next 3 or 4 days. You know, naturally they need to, spotting is a very rigorous activity. They need a lot of protein. So they're here anticipating the crabs.
I'll agree with them. Nothing like a good burger after.
Right. But the key is when they leave out there.
Couldn't help that one, Robert.
when they come back, a lot of the fish naturally migrate up to the north and spend the summer up in the Mississippi Delta. But a lot of the fish break off and come inside large estuaries like Tampa Bay, particularly Charlotte Harbor. The only purpose for them being here then is to feed, and they gorge.
It's a long swim anywhere else.
It's a very rigorous process. You know, it's a lot like a buck in the rut. You know, he'll walk and walk and walk and walk until he finds that doe. And a lot of the larger bucks, after he's mated, will lay down and die. You know, I mean, it's a very, they're spent. And they lose a lot of body weight. A female could lose as much as 30 pounds, a male 20 to 25 pounds, and they gorge. They go to areas where you have fresh water, meaning salt water, like you have right off your shop here. Glass meadows, this, which is abundant up there right now. Everything's in place. And once they start to trickle back in, it's going to happen. It looks like it's going to be a good year up here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had a lot of bait come in, so everything's looking good. The feeding, the fornicating, the whole bit, it's all happening right now. And, I believe you're absolutely right that this is going to be their last spawn on this moon.
Yeah.
And then it just settles down to a feed, and we can kind of coast through the next few months. But there's going to be a really, really excellent shot at getting your tarpon. If you've come down here in the May and June, April, and you've been so frustrated, you really want to give this summer fall tarpon a good shot. Yeah, get out there first light.
It's easy.
It's much, much easier. I mean, the fishing.
And there's nobody here.
In September and sometimes early October is tenfold what it is in April and May. I mean, it is so much, much better. And you're more spread out. There's less headache, less people. Not just that there's less people here, but the fish are so spread out over a large area and consistently feeding, it makes them a much easier...
A lot easier target.
Yeah, a lot easier target and a much more pleasurable experience than just being warm.
And they bite. Yeah. You know, I mean, this morning's a good example. I had bait inside fish for 3.5 hours, and they didn't bite. You know, right. I mean, we had 2 bites, and flew 2 fish, caught none. But had bait literally and 500-600 tarpon for 2.5 hours and didn't get bit. I find a fish back up here in the harbor. If I see 5 fish roll and I put a bait out there, I got one within a minute.
Yeah.
What's your phone number for your guide service?
How about toll free 800-833-0489?
Yeah.
GiantTarpon.com.
Oh, yeah, no, we're all about promoting you. Now, you're going to be able to click on
that. Any charters for me?
Yeah, we're going to try. What's going to happen is we're going to be putting your picture right next to the thing of this. And when you click his picture, it will take you to his website. You get all the information out of it. And you've got 30 years of coming in on tarpon, and you just continue to consistently pretty much catch more fish than anybody.
Well, it's, if that's a tip I can give anybody, don't get caught inside the box. Stay outside the box and look and spend. You can't go fishing and catching every day, Spend some time looking and thinking a little bit. And with that, it was really my secret. I don't spend really much any time anymore worried about the fish. But I'm always thinking about better ways to find them or to catch them.
But anybody that's observant out there would know that that's really not a secret of yours, because, even on days, I've been out there where you're out there drifting around by yourself for 2-3 hours, watching, playing around, experimenting.
Yeah, you know, well, we did a lot of that this year.
And I see you from I-75 all the way down to the pass.
Yeah,
I see you every direction possible for the last 8-9 years that I can think of. And you're not afraid to move around. Everyone else is still down there in the pass. I've seen you up here wrecking fish at the mouth of the Myakka in May, when everyone else is down towards the pass and out on the beaches, doing well, but not crushing them, but doing well, and watch you up here playing around, checking things out, whether you're with a charter or without a charter. You are constantly moving around.
Well, if I'm without a trip, I'm out practicing. I do practice. I take my deckhand, out with me, and I compensate him with money.
I would make him stand there and we practice.
We've spent a lot of time this year. I have a lot to learn. as far as, you know, traditional methods of fishing in the past with live bait. And we've been doing that at night, which now, requires practice.
That's the one thing I used to be really good at. I was an okay jig fisherman. I was an okay daytime fisherman. But when I got out there in the evening at night, I was pretty good. I could do a lot in the past at night.
Mm. But did you have a drift boat, or did you fish with an outboard?
I fish with an outboard. Yeah. The whole drift boat thing's goofy. I mean, it's not... I don't like it. I like my outboard. I like my mobility. I want to be able to spin the boat around, turn on a dime. I don't like the whole big boat thing when I'm going after fish. I don't have the mobility in my small boat. And my boat takes 4-foot waves or 6 inches of water. Either well, it takes them fine. But I need the mobility. I like to be able to spin on a dime.
Yeah.
That's my whole thing. That's why I just don't do the big boat thing. I like them if I'm out in the Gulf. When I'm 40 miles offshore, the bigger the boat, the better the boat. But once I get inside the co-regs, man, I don't want nothing to do with them. Yeah. I'm a little boat guy. But, you know, that's why there's more than one kind of boat made. If there was only one good boat to do everything with and everybody had their favorite, there would be only one boat made. But right now I can think of at least 8 dozen. I mean, there's 8 dozen different types of boats for everybody.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but you're into this now. You're going to get really serious. I know you've been out practicing a lot, looking for the fish, watching for where they're moving. Any idea where they're moving to? Is it going to be a big push back up in the harbor pretty soon, or is it going to be a little while yet?
There's always a period after the last spawn that it gets slow. In the first 2 weeks of July, and it looks like it's going to be right on schedule this year. Can get tough. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, what's going to happen is there'll be one school of fish left out by the pass. It'll be jumping up on the beach at daylight. They'll be eating, but the sharks will eat every single one of them. And in the back, you know, you got a lot of fish back here right now. You know, a lot of resident fish, smaller. And what I do is I start looking for the larger fish back here. And if I don't see them, then I'm obliged to what's here. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with these 40s and 50, 60 pounders that are here all over the place right now.
I got a question for you, because you really study the fish, the sharks, the tarpon, everything that has to do with tarpon, which includes many other species.
Sure.
The last year or two, a lot of great whites out there. How long do you think it's going to be before we get great whites in the past?
If I get that great white, what's her name?
Catherine.
Okay. I'm going to retire. I'm waiting for her to come back.
My opinion is they're going to find out about this whole tarpon thing.
I don't think she knows about the tarpon yet. I mean, there's a lot of speculation that she's following the tarpon.
I don't think so.
She wouldn't be that far out. But when they do, it's going to be good for somebody. I would love to have a great white shark out of the Gulf of Mexico or Boca Grande Pass.
I think that in the next 2 to 3 years, we're going to have great whites in the pass during tarpon season.
That'd be great, man.
Well, if the weather and everything kind of holds the way it's been going, because every year for the last few years, we heard a lot about them a few years ago in Naples. Now we're hearing about them much further north. And I think they're finding out there's food here. And when they find out about this tarpon thing in Boca Grande Pass, can you imagine how many great whites we're going to have? Because they talk to each other. These guys, you know, they're not secretive. It's like, hey, buddy, did you see those fish in the pass? I bet you within 2 to 3 years we get great whites in the pass.
So that
isn't mean, that going to change that, it? I mean, then I will go to your drift boat. Once the great whites get in the pass, then I will change my opinion, and that whole big drift boat thing, that will be 100% of my
two
pie.
Barrels, Frank.
Nice.
Absolutely. Anyway, I know you got to get going. You got a busy day ahead of you. We're going to put your picture and your website and everything on here. And thank you very much for coming. Any last questions, Robert?
No, I learned a lot.
Anything else we need to
go over? No, I'm good. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, we're going to...
What's your website one more time for us?
GiantTarpon.com.
Sounds great. So appreciate you coming and sharing your knowledge.
GiantTarpon.com. And your phone number is?
800-833-0489.
Well, this is Fish and Frank in the chair here, and Robert across from me, and we got Captain Rob McHugh there, and this guy is the tarpon guru. And so take what you heard and kind of digest it a little bit. There's some good stuff there. You just got to pick it out. Anyway, Fish and Frank, we'll see you on the next Radio Fishing.